Okay, so this should all be pretty mostly familiar to you by point. Can I get a reader, please? Yadin.
I would love to talk about Chopin about the operation.
So why does that stop you? Just kidding. Danikoff!
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Alright.
That says what I think of his hasmada. Right? Said if he came in late, I would assume that the clock was wrong. Okay. Go ahead. Okay, so that is the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosei, B'Shem Aviv, and what some of the Amoraim said, that you can take in Malo Yada if you have a Makom Kavua. Ain't low. So, who's reading of the Gemara is that?
Everybody
but Rashi. In other words, Rashi understood that the buchna is a meducha, a press. So Rashi understood that buchna had nothing to do with this topic per se, unless you used it. It wasn't the shear, it was actually, a better way of putting it is, Rashi actually thought the Gemara was talking about a buchna, whereas everybody else thought it was talking about something the size of a buchna, and that's the position that's adopted by the Torah here. So that that's the shear that you can take in to a base kisei kavua and a base kisei shena kavua. And then Rav Sheshes is ukimta qualification. Okay, so one that's Rav Sheshes' statement that once it's nikar, it's mutter to bring a large amount. Why? Fundamentally. What? Because it's mulchan. It's been used already. Use toilet paper. All right. Fine. And then umutar. All right. So he says you're allowed to take it up to the gag. And we don't say that since you have a makom yuchad that you should have done it before Shabbos. Now the Torah leaves open the question raised by Tosos. And ultimately the Magen Avraham himself is Machmir, but the Torah leaves open the question of Tosis, which is what? What if it's not Al-Gago, but it's Beveso Mamish?
Yeah,
what is
that?
Which, by the way, I didn't know what Matthias Tosis is talking about.
Yeah. I mean,
all I know is that I'm told that when my grandmother grew up in the shtetl, in Hungary, so well, my grandparents grew up, said you used an outhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tosus. I mean, it seems like in Ashkenaz they were very advanced. They had bathroom.
Maybe
they
just had a chamber pot or a different place, a designated. I don't know.
That wasn't my. That, what's that?
Well, like to toast up the.
Apparently, it's like a sine curve. Mm-hmm. Or cosine curve, too, probably, yes. Mati, a question or no? Okay, so that's a little surprise, but according to Tosis, it's raised the possibility that maybe in that circumstance where it's not on the Gag, but it's Mamish Veveso, maybe it should be Mutter, maybe it should be Usher if you didn't do it for Erev Shabbos because you could have been Mechan. And Tosis says, but maybe there are the people in the house. So again, I always wonder, okay, but according to Tosis, let's say there was nobody else there. Well, let's say they didn't use it, you just didn't prepare any. What would it then be? Yaakov?
Should Tosis be talking about the institution of an outhouse?
But that's not. Tosus uses the expression. Self beso, no?
I thought
Gago was. No. Gago is Algabe beso. That's already a little bit out of the way.
Could it be like
Shayech beso? He says, Kisel beso, hakvum bibatim.
Yeah, so that's in
house. Oh, you think that's what it means? Hold on. Hold on. I hear what you're saying. I want to see something. I might have misread it, but I want to see the. He says, "Avaladidanti yesh makom kavua bebayis usher." Why should an outhouse that's not in your house be any better than the roof? If he has a makom kavu on the roof.
Yeah.
I thought it's dafka because it's literally babayis in the house. I might be wrong, but I was not wrong in remembering that the language of the Beis Yosef is not Tosis' language.
Well,
It's not. But Tosfos may be correct, but Bata means in their houses, not in an outhouse. So I'm not. It's possible, but I don't think that's what Tosfos was talking about. And again, Misvara, why would an outhouse be better? And why is an outhouse any better than a roof?
Because it's really new.
If a roof.
Rashi said roof is a tircha.
Agreed, and the outhouse is a tircha too. The whole point would be, this is not according to Rashi anyway, the whole point would be is that if it's literally, for us, our bathroom is not a tircha at all.
I would think that going out to a field is a tircha as well.
It is or isn't?
It is.
It is a tircha. Yeah, that's what I would have thought. Why is that any better than Gog? So, I see how you could read the Beis Yosef that way, but I think it's much harder to read Tosfos that way.
Unless you kept the stones in the outhouse, it wouldn't be an issue of like bringing in the outhouse. The outhouse is the place,
Well, presume no.
Your roof you would use for other things also.
Okay. Again, I'm. Again, if you were to read, does he quote it here? This is one more time. What was the Magen Avraham's language also? Right, which is a different than Tosfos' formulation. Not sure. Okay.
I was very surprised when I saw it. I read it initially. So it was very surprising, like, before you
got
into a plumbing.
Correct. So I don't know. Okay. So I'll leave that question open. The Magen Avraham wants to be Machmer. The Beis Yosef says very clearly at the end of the Siman that he doesn't think that anybody holds his way. Stimas Lashon, what was the election? Stimas Medivrei Aposkim, Shekasu Dinim Elu Stam. Mashman makes no difference. Okay. Fine. So where were we? So that was the Gog. So let's turn for a moment. Let me just make sure there's nothing I wanted to. Okay, now, what did the Chachamim permit? So this is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says that they permitted Tiltul Muksa only. They did not permit Tiltul Bekarmelis, moving into Alaramis or being Motzi Umachanis. Tosos writes that it should be a Kavachomer, and perhaps I wouldn't even say as a kavachomer, but as a smach to Tosfos, the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Lamed Beis and Aleph that says that it's mutar l'sadar avanim l'beis hakisei, a Gemara that is not quoted anywhere in the Beis Yosef in the Siman, but amazingly enough is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in the Siman. You can chalk this up as a extreme rarity, a din in the Shulchan Aruch that's not discussed in the Beis Yosef at all. So the Gemara there says it's mutar l'sadar avanim shul beis hakisei. It's considered a binyan arai. And it's the bottom of Lamed Beis and Beis, and it's mutter because of Kavod Abrios.
So it's mutter to tear toilet paper?
So that's why if you have no alternatives, the question is what would the Isser be in tearing toilet paper? The question is whether if you're not tearing any particular midas, then the Isser at all fundamentally. That's a question in its own right. Tearing paper, Pashtus according to Shulchan Aruch, it's tearing a piece of paper is mutter. It's a big machlokas achronim. Saying any materials that are not... that are not comprised of little individual pieces sort of tied together, sewn together, something like that. Now, obviously, on a molecular level, they all are. But if we don't make it from, by being mitzarif, various little pieces, then they're achronim hold. I think the Shulchan Aruch Rav holds this way. It's the Pashas and the Shulchan Aruch on some level. That there's no Isser Korea. Korea will only be then when there's an analogous Tofer process to start with. But if you talk about paper, at least now paper is made by pouring it. Nobody weaves paper today. You pour some type of a liquid over a screen. That's how the paper is made. And plastic, I don't know exactly how it's made. Plastic, again, is not being made by is not being made by a tofer process. So there would be, according to the Shulchan Aruch, there would be, I believe, no iser in tearing those things. It's not korea at all. But even if there were korea midrabba, it would be midrabbanon because it would be fundamentally mekalkel. Again, unless, you know... you know, unless you want to talk about mechatech b'mida, not entirely clear, but yeah, it would be mutter indeed, and you'll find the poskim writing that way, or even people want to be machmir for one particular shita in Korean paper would be mekel in the case where you don't have anything else to wipe with, because isurim d'rabbanan seem to be set aside for this particular issue of kavod abrios. Yeah. Gilad.
And for Shabbos.
What?
And for Shabbos.
What?
Yeah,
the
Magen Avraham brings that as
proof of Rishon and Tess. Hold on. I know. No, you got it backwards. Why don't you saw the Magen Avraham already, Rishon and Tess?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Even I didn't see the Magen Avraham in Rishon and Tess, or did I? Firstly, it comes from the Beis Yosef already. It's a very, very, it's very strained. It's a very strained argument. Probably most of the Rishon of S would have disagreed with it. They talk about using Avanim for Hatmana, which you're talking about. Taking Avanim, which are Muksa, for Hatmana. And the reason why it's problematic is because it's clear we don't say that all Isurim D'Rabbanan are mutter for that. Right? Now, the Hatmana is Asur. So how exactly we deal with that Shita, which I think is a minority Shita, I don't know. But I'm just pointing out to you that if you look at this issue, the bathroom of Kavod Abrios, there are multiple different kinds of Isurim that are permitted by the Gemara to be shown. And it seems to be that this particular issue, the Chacham Machben Kavod Abrios, it's a weak argument, arguing from Kavod Abrios to Oneg Shabbos. I think it's very clear even when you read the Beis Yosef. And the Kash is who was that Shita? It wasn't the Ugger, was it? I wasn't mocking the Ugger, Skutsky. I was just asking.
No, the Ugger is
Shibolei Aleket. Shibolei Aleket. I'm sorry, who does he quote? No, that's something else. No, where is it?
But he's talking about the Binyan Arai, not the Tilta Muks, the Binyan Arai, I'm sorry. And as being arranging them. So I would have argued, by the way, Mishum Kvod Shabbos Lo Gozru. That's a little bit, the question is, Lo Gozru on this, I don't know that you could extend that activity to anything else. And this is by definition not extendable. Right? We don't say that there's no Malach of Binyan Arai. He's arguing in this particular case, the one goes there. I would have argued on a better grounds, and it's a kash I don't know the answer to, which is why is it binyan at all? And I don't know that by the Beis HaKisei either. Since when is that called binyan? Binyan normally requires? Binyan arai requires? A gag. Yeah, and there's no gag there. And that I don't understand why. There's the Magen Avraham says, like by the bathroom stones, that you can't put a top on. And Eliyahu Rabbi and Lavush disagree, and they say that if it's Botox Kavod Abrios, you could do Isurim D'Rabbanan. So that I understand. They're saying that the gag on top. But why the Gemara suggests that the two stones side by side in the first place are considered an Isur, I don't know what the Isur is. It's Arai. And it's not Moksa because those are the stones probably sitting in your Beis HaKisei. So you want to just arrange them so it's a more comfortable seating arrangement. Spence?
I don't know. Probably the wrong idea. Are we saying that we actually hold the
I think we tell you not to tear on the seams, and not to tear, kavana. But probably, if you ask me, I would attempt to tear kalachayat a little bit. Yes, and that's what if there's nothing there. Yes.
If there's nothing, I'm saying why are we saying then if there's nothing there, why can't you just tear? Even if there is another way.
Well, no, because they only allowed tilto muksa for kavod abrios by this issue when you don't have another choice. The problem there is not a muksa. The problem is maybe there's a korea question.
So, why is there a korea? With paper towels, say you're not ripping on the seam.
So again, some achronim say that there is an issur of korea midrabbanon.
So we hold by those achronim.
So I think generally the practice is we don't tear toilet paper. There may be another consideration, not just stam tearing paper, but the fact is that you're, it may be a kind of misake mana midrabbanon, meaning it's holy ibud, but that's not entirely clear. But so yeah.
What's wrong with the seams?
that might be mechatech b'mida. Although it's not clear to me, I recall seeing someone wanted to argue that the seam is better. I'm not really sure. Along those lines. So anyway, you know, I was thinking about this. I missed that line, but I'm whatever it was. I'll let it go.
You said it like so. Along those lines. You always do that.
Apparently, I'm talented at that. Even nope. That's not even a davar she'ena miskaven or psik reisha. That's a misasek. So you know, there's a minhag. Some. I don't know if this is true or not. That some have to stay up mittelnacht, so they don't want to chas v'shalom learn. So they tear toilet paper for the year round then. But you have to realize that's. You never heard of this?
No.
For Shabbos. Yes. For Shabbos. How many of you have not heard of this? You've heard of it? How many of you have heard of this practice? I haven't verified it personally. Do you like only talk to people whose only exposure has ever been in YU?
I only heard of Nitzanach once I got here.
Okay.
People are making jokes about it.
Uh-huh. So I just want to point out that this minhag has to be fairly recent, because commercial toilet paper has only been around for about 130 years, and I'm pretty sure that the Jews in Poland, in the shtetl, in the late 19th and early 20th century, probably did not have, you know, Charmin or Northern Quilted or whatever it was called, the first commercial toilet paper. So I don't think they were tearing toilet paper. And they were probably too poor anyway to buy their year's supply of toilet paper at that one time. So, okay, anyway. That particular question you ask is an exceptional thing. I don't know what to do with it, but it's right, because otherwise, in other words, we don't allow hatmana, right? There are lots of isurim drabbanan that, by definition, are prohibited for stop on Shabbos. Okay, so where were we? Okay, we spoke about Avanu Mikorzelos yesterday, and we spoke about the Machlokas Hadarika Chwe Meducha Katana. So make sure we didn't miss any points that I wanted to touch upon. Okay, fine, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch for a moment. Was reading for me, Denikoff.
You shouldn't call the brio. Yitir the tatal of the kinech. A few of the halotam the ganyu. Oh, it's have a tercha yitir a mutar. Mishish the mach miyucha. The beit hakise yachol achnisim avanim al kinech. I'm lo hayad. In lo machin kavua machnisimo yeshur buchna kitan. The im nikar beevin shikan chovo mutar the achniso afilu kugadol harbe o afilu. Im harbe mivokayad mutar the tal we told kulan tikilan she kankova bahen hufnu.
Okay, and then the Rama says
Yishomrim davka bechatzer mutar tal talim.
It's Rashi, and then Yishomrim.
Yishomrim zafilu mikarmele d'shus yachid nami shari dehav deha nami inu rach yisor derabanan yishom kavod abriud itiru.
Right. So it's interesting, the way the Ramah presents is a little different than the Machlokas actually is presented itself. Now, the way the Beis Yosef quotes and presents the Machlokas is that the Dalei HaTosfos argue it's a Kal v'chomer, and they claim that Isser Karmelis, Hotzah and Havara in a Karmelis, Kotzah from two and Havara in a Karmelis is less chomer than Muksa, and so it's a Kal v'chomer, they permit it. Which really sounds like it's not necessarily that all Isurim Darabanan are permitted, but if anything that's more Kal than Mukta would be permitted. Whereas the way the Rama quotes it is that the reason why it should be Mutter is because it's only Isur Darabanan. In other words, it's not a question of weighing bigger Isur Darabanan, less Isur Darabanan. The assumption is that Isurim Darabanan are permitted Mishum Diskavar Habrias. So again, it's not a crazy position. It's certainly consistent if you add in Ligmar and Beitza. Again, could it be that Binyan Arai is more... is less chamor than tilto mukta, but there might be some isur and rabbanon, maybe. But the truth is, if binyan arai is less chamor and karmelis is less chamor, what you're really saying is that malachos the rabbanon are less chamor than muktzah. So what is left in Yisurei Shabbos? I assume that a gzeira that you might do a malacha is no worse than a malacha the rabbanon in that category. So it may be memela, once you permit Yisur muktzah, you're permitting one of the most chamor aspects of Shabbos, of Yisur, of the rabbanon, and therefore maybe all other Yisurim the rabbanons follow. Yisurim the rabbanon. Okay. Fine. And read Beis. Okay, so the Mechaber here, there are three interpretations. I believe if you look carefully, there are actually three interpretations as to how to understand what the Gemara's chiddush is in Rishum on Nikar. Number one, Rashi's perspective, which on some level I think makes sort of the least sense, but it seems I thought was the predominant one, was it's a muksa question. Why does it make the least sense?
Why would you
use it? Yaakov says, well, listen to what he said. Say it again.
If it's Ukhan, it's Ukhan.
Yeah, who cares? As long as you can identify which it was, even if it's not Rishu Manikar, you know which it is because it was there, it was in that place. I left 10 stones there, it poured, I have now 10 shiny clean stones with no traces of human excrement on it, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, they're not Mukhan anymore because the rain washed it away. Why should that matter? So, one second. So the other two interpretations, one is from Rabbeinu Hananel. Is that what's going to happen is you're going to wind up with mud, it sounds like, caked on it, and you're going to scrape it off, and somehow that's going to be tochen. And then the Rif's position, I think the Rambam also, is that the stones get pushed into the mud, which is again counterintuitive, I think, as we said yesterday, maybe, because normally the rain would wash away, would expose the stones.
If you have a gravel path,
yeah,
like a thin layer of gravel over a dirt path, and when it rains, the mud does cake
it. Okay, fine. So maybe it looks like you're making a guma or something like that when you take it out. So that's why I said that if Rishuman is Nikar, the aim is Mishum Soser, that would be making the guma, pulling the rock out. Velo Mishum Tochen, which is to avoid Rabbeinu Hananel's issue. So the Magen Avraham, where?
At the end of that.
Yes, I thought about that, but still, in other words,
you can make the same argument. You can make the same
argument. Yeah.
That just seems like the opposite of what you want.
There he says that if you have an Evan Shekanach Bo Vishlicho, you're going to say, because otherwise it might look like it's almost like it's a mara sign on muksa. If I know I prepared these stones and the rain just washed them away, I would have said something a little different. I would have said that maybe if the rain, and again the question is, when does the rain wash them away? Maybe we'll say the rain washes them away during the week. I would have made a slightly different argument before Shabbos comes. I made a slightly different argument that if the rain washes them away, perhaps these stones are muksa again because you now might use them for something else. But as long as they still have the traces of kinuach on them, so what are you going to use them for? You're going to give them to your kid to play, you know, a rock game with it?
Aren't they more chazers for kinuach after they're cleaned again?
Maybe. No, not necessarily.
I mean,
if it's dry, you can use it just as well. What?
It would just be muktzah machmas kuf.
We say yes, but you will only be permitted a minimum shear there.
Okay, fine.
But you wouldn't be allowed to be machmas, you know, as much as you wanted. That's the point. Agreed. You're allowed to use these stones even if ain't mishum anikar.
Right.
Certainly according to Rashi, it's just that you can't take in that it's mukta as opposed to something that's muhan. But again, the question is, why shouldn't it be considered muhan in the first place, just because the rain washed away the stuff. All right. Josh?
We don't fully understand Soser or Tochen yet?
No, we do. So, I mean, it looks, you know, if it's not Nikar, if it looks like it's just another rock in the ground, you pull it out, it looks like you're kind of, I don't know, Soser, you're taking the ground apart. And it's not bona because you're not making the gumma. The gumma was there already. Right? And toche was a concern that you'll come to, crumble the mud that's on the rock when you get it off, when you take it off the rock. Because of all the rain and sunk in the mud. All right. Fine. Let's go back quickly to the tour. And Gimel. Okay. So we're not afraid that you're going to actually pluck the individual pieces of grass off. That would be considered tole shmedaraisa, but merely pulling the rock out of the ground, we assume, is only nisidrabanan. As Rashi, I think it's Rashi who said, if pulling the rock out of the ground would have been an issue, taking the rock off the ground, which has stuff going on, would have been considered tolesh, then it would not have been permissible for the purposes of kinuach.
What we said it was deraisa? Sorry.
If you take, if you have this grass growing on the rock and then you take the grass off the rock.
We'll get to that later, but that, I don't understand why we're allowed to use something before the karka later.
What do you mean? It's not mechubar. The point is that the grass on the rock is mechubar
right
to the rock.
Not right now.
Albert?
Is it a moss or is it like a grass?
Oh, I suggested yesterday it might be some type of moss.
Okay.
Yeah, because grass doesn't usually grow on rocks, yes. Yeah, but I suggested that. Skutsky had a question or no? No. Okay. Yaakov? What? Yes, the assumption is it's okur dafamiki dulo. I think so. When moss grows on, I guess because we've got moss, I assume it draws its nutrients primarily from the air.
There's usually dirt on the rock.
There is dirt on.
I thought we were talking about a very dense clod of earth dirt.
Okay, so that makes more sense. So then, yeah, well, then mom, it's just grass. It's just a.
Is there any?
There'd have to be something that doesn't crumble. But someone said there may be dirt underneath the moss on the rock. So. What's that?
Lichens?
Yeah.
You wouldn't use something.
Don't grow, or do or don't grow.
Well, Gemara thinks.
I'm sorry, they.
Like, it'll lose you sound directly on the rock.
Okay.
Like we say, shahako, mushrooms.
Well, that's an interesting question, because mushrooms do have roots of some kind.
Right.
They look, they draw the nourishment from the ground, I believe.
But the Gemara thinks they get it from the air.
The Gemara thinks they get it from the air, yeah.
So I think we're talking about not mushrooms, not mosses.
No, I think they knew also that once you cut it off from the ground, it doesn't grow anymore, so it could still be considered okay, dafer megidula. I don't know.
Seir chayev mishum tolesh.
What?
Seir chayev mishum tolesh.
Okay, maybe you are. Okay, so you're not choshesh shema yitlosh, not choshesh that in wiping some of it comes off because that's a davar sheni miskaven. Dalid. On what sakana is that? Number one and potentially number two. Shofim. Yes, Gilad.
You saw the video Sif here talk about, I guess in the previous thing, Sif Gilad talk about Sikrisha and how something's not Sikrisha because it could be done in such a way as to avoid it.
Here?
Yeah.
When did you say that?
Example, it's in the fourth wide line.
He says Efshe l'kenef v'toshu asavim. He says it's possible when you do it, asavim won't be plucked off.
No.
Yeah, that's why I would have jumped for joy if I had read it that way. I mean, just because it was nice to see that svara there. But I think so. I think it just means, in other words, you're mekanech, but because you can be mekanech, and asavim won't necessarily come off. That makes it darshan miskavim. Look at it again. I don't think I'd love to see, that statement there. That was Rashi's statement, one of the Deos and Zvachim, I think. Right. I don't think that's what the Beis Yosef is saying. I mean, he's just giving a much more mundane version of it. It just doesn't always happen. Right. In other words, clearly you could, if you do it in a certain way, it might vaday come off. But if you're careful, you can do it in a way that doesn't come off, and that's the way you do it. Not that you can do it. I don't think he says you can do it any way you want, since you could possibly do it in such a way. I don't think so. Okay. Fine. The Shulchan Aruch seems to ignore the kshaf. Well, the din, the next din, hayu lefanav. Go ahead. I'm sorry, let's go read the Shulchan Aruch quickly. Gimel and Dalin. Mogherfam just points out that clearly the Mechaber is not concerned. It sounds like it's Nastam. You can lift it up even off the ground, and it's still not a problem. So it means he doesn't hold like it's not Choshesh for the Rambam. We assume that if you're totally sure on the rock, you're chayiv. You're totally sure on the ground, it's only Nisid Rabbanon, and therefore, in this case, it's Mutter because of Kavod Abrius. And Dalid? Okay. Fine. But they don't mention anything about the kshafim. Okay. Fine. We go back to the tour.
Nuri.
We're looking at Petrar, semicolon. So you're supposed to use lachem, not yveshim, because they're chadin and mechad chasabasar. So the Magamaram asks a kasha here. What reason does the Gemara say you're not allowed to use asavim yveshim? Or shalat this. Thank you. So honestly, I didn't understand the Magatram's kasha at all. So look at the Magen Avraham. Say, read the Shulchan Aruch. Hayu lefanav. Okay, so the Magen Avraham in Sif Katan he writes Tzorachin the Besimin Gimel the Kasav Tam Mishim Mekaneach B'Davar Sholet Bo Shinav Noshos V'Chein Hu B'Gemara. So I thought that that's not a machlokas. Why is it that you're not allowed to be mekaneach b'davar she'or sholeit bo? It's dry, and you're going to injure yourself. And as a what? Correct, right? In other words, he says shinav noshos. Yes, it's the same thing, right? It's chados mechatchos. That's how shinav noshos. Shinav noshos is not literally things don't fall out. I mean, again, we discussed yesterday. I don't care to discuss again, but. A deer?
I was going to ask if
the
same as actually cutting flesh.
It's all the same issue.
Right.
So that's why I didn't think it was such a big deal. All right. Fine. It's very, I admit to not having looked it up, but the Magen Avraham says that you're allowed to take a stone from a thick wall. You're allowed to take it out of it to use it, because since you're not, if the wall's thick enough, you're not making a hole in it. It's not soser. It's not considered soser. But if you make a hole in it and you take a rock, when you take the rock out of it, it's a thin enough wall, then it's havik soser. But then he points out that the Turin Choshen Mishpat writes that when you wipe, you're allowed to take a rock out of the field, but you cannot take one from the gether, from the fence. So he thinks that that's a stira.
Oh, well, maybe in Choshen Mishpat, it's Gesel.
So I thought that was Pashut.
Okay!
That's what I didn't go looking at. I know the context. I didn't look it up, but the context in which it's talking about is the takanos that Yeshua made. So the assumption is that when someone has, if you're going in their field because you need a place to go to the bathroom, so if you take a rock out of the ground, that's fine. From their vantage point, that's either part of takanos Yeshua, that's hefker. But if they built the rock into a wall, well, then they've taken possession of it and they want to do something with it. I thought that was pashut. I didn't understand I didn't want to take the time to go look into it. We don't. Suffice it to say, when you're using someone's bathroom, please do not take tiles off the wall to wipe yourself. It would be wholly unappreciated, okay? Because that's what you're talking about here, right? It's exactly what you're talking about. Not a hole in the wall. It's just sheetrock behind it. What's the big deal?
Using the curtains.
Okay, that's going a little too far. Okay. Fine. All right, Vav. Go back for a second, if there's a Vav. No? Okay, so read Vav in the Shulchan Aruch then. Because it really is part of this. There's a discussion of using the grass. Right, so I don't actually know. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Why would you do that?
The grass is
that.
Then you're already. I don't know.
What's
even the problem? Even if you were to
move it.
Well, it's
muktzah. But it's wiping yourself. One is muktzah, and yes, and two, you're also worried that you're going to be yitlosh. I don't understand.
Well, one second. So let's one point at a time. The Rashi already says, "When achosh Hashem yalav
yitlosh." I don't understand.
And so I agree. The answer if it was Rashi is. Does he even say that in the Beis Yosef? One second. No, I agree. Now, it's mutter because it's mutter to move it. Yeah, I don't know what Rashi means by velo yizizim. I don't know what it means. My answer is mutter. Firstly, you are moving them. It's impossible to wipe yourself without moving them.
So maybe it's yizizam mimkoma.
Well, that's tolish.
Yeah.
What does he say? Yeah, okay, fine. That's a very, very forced reading. He's bothered by the question. That's why he's getting around it. But, okay. It's more surprising. The Magen Avraham doesn't say anything. Does the Prima Goddam say something here?
It goes back to the Zamora case, which I didn't understand there either. How am I able to use anything that's moved over the carpet?
One second.
They only said that about the Nila.
So the Prima Goddam is wild. He says you're not allowed to move them with your hand. But you can maneach behem begufo. How are you going to do that exactly? Yeah, that's pretty wild.
It's high grass and you just...
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to do with that. Fine. Zion, back in the Torah. Suffice it to say, I hope you never find yourself in that situation. You'll have better luck if you find a leaf that's already detached in the ground. And hopefully not poison ivy. Yes. Go ahead. The mashmesh. Right. So we're not allowed to be mashamesh biyado because apparently it's going to detach hairs. Ella.
Ella yimashmesh pelacher yad b'shtei etzvotav. Rabbi Yochanan opirish shlo yimashmesh b'tzror shel hakinuach. V'ach liko k'derach she'osa b'chol mishum k'tisha ella pelacher yad.
So what does Rabbi Yochanan say? It's a very different interpretation here. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to be. What was the expression? You're not allowed to be mashmesh bitzror b'shabbos. So the way Rashi understood bitzror meant using a tzror. How did Rabbeinu Chananel understand it? Mashmesh bitzror, to do with something to the tzror itself. He says ketisha. What's ketisha? You're grinding. Probably you're grinding up the dirt that's caked onto the rock.
Yeah. So that's what I think the idea was tochen was.
Yeah.
For
well, it would be the same thing. You'd be crumbling the mud off it. It's a different case, but same idea, yes. That's correct.
Okay. Shulchan Aruch says.
Why are we worried about that here?
No, you're doing it via Dai Mamish. You're miskaving to crumble it to get it off the rock, so the rock will be dirt free.
You're taking it off the rock before you use it.
Correct. That's what being mamashmesh bitzror. The tzror is the object of the verb, as opposed to mamashmesh yourself using it tzror, which is the way Rashi understood it. Zion. You're going to end up cutting off hairs, and apparently it's a psik reshe. It's the Magen Avraham quotes from Tosfos. However, it sounds like, by the way, Gilad, you're doing an isser of gozes, but the kalachar yad, and it's permitted because of kavod abrias. Right? So add another malacha to the list, mid rabbanon. Yaakov? So for Tosos, no. Because it's usher enough. I don't know whether it's nichale, nichale. Tosos thought that it was enough. Tosos, maybe the shitaso. That psik reshul nichale is usher mid rabbanon. So Tosos assumes that it's mutter to do it. Even Tosh assumes only draw bottom. So why don't they permit it outright? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe they don't assume it's lo nichale. I don't know why it's really nichale, but maybe it's nichale because if you cut the hairs out of the way, then it's easier to defecate. So maybe it's considered nichale actually. Okay, but you see that a kalach ariyat on that is mutter. Okay, fine. Asur, I'm sorry. Good. Ches. One of the otter chubas of the Marami Wittenberg that I've experienced. If somebody is listening to the recording and only listen to this, they would think this is a very, very strange shear. Go ahead. What's that?
I thought it was already.
Are you slandering your colleagues? I assume it's not your Rebbe you're talking about. So. Ah, I see. Go ahead. But don't forget what Rav Huna said to his son. Trust me, if the Gemara's advice in these inyanim were generally good, said it would make your life a lot more pleasant or a lot less unpleasant than many other things that you end up learning. Right? For all of Newton's laws and Einstein's relativity and all that, that doesn't do you very much good in life if you can't handle these issues. It's the way it is. Just saying. Go ahead. So it seems like they had some type of an implement. A barza. What is a barza? Ouch. Okay, now. What? What? I thought it was a spigot.
Yeah.
Wait,
No. A bidet, I thought it's like the thing, it's a French thing where they use water to clean yourself somehow.
It like shoots water.
Yes, that's a good thing. It's a much better thing. They should bring that to America. Strange that it may sound to you. It's much better hygienically and everything else.
And white wine.
For starters, it would cure most of the hemorrhoids, you know, or lots of them. And be a starting point in the discussion. But anyway, and it allows a person to properly clean themselves. It's toilet paper is not, you know.
Properly clean themselves. Just wiping
it. Right. Yeah. So coming back to this. So I thought barza is used in that famous sugya of the Psik Reishis sugya, the barza.
Yeah, it must be a different barza.
Right. Did someone check that that's the word that's floating in my mind? What?
Skiski found some like metal things that were used for.
I don't want to see it. I think I don't want to see it.
I'm
Wikipedia is a really interesting thing, isn't it? Hold on.
Like somebody's gonna like pretty funny.
I thought it was used in a sugya. I don't see it immediately, but I thought that's what a barza is. Is that a barish is the spigot that you stick in?
Meaning apparently they would also leave it there.
I don't think they had like.
Well, hold on, hold on. So apparently yes. This is the non-proverbial. How did they say it? The non-proverbial, you know. Forget it. You can fill in the sentence, but even I can't say it with a straight face. So, but anyway, so they apparently left it in there, so as to aid the process of loosening the stool. Okay. All right. What's that?
You,
I thought a bidet is the thing that they spray the water.
Exactly.
We don't.
There's no way that can fit with. The continuing description.
Here is something that was inserted, you know, it was inserted inside the body. So I'm not familiar, I've never heard of this being used today, but who knows. So, listen, a lot of things have made a comeback. Leeches have made a comeback. So, you never know, because the Barza could be making a comeback as well. So, go ahead. So, what does the Maram say? Umashani kalachar yad. So Alma.
Alma al yidei shinoi shari. Kigon sheuchis atzur or havarsa b'shteyat zotav.
Umashmeish aval.
Aval b'chol hayad lo.
So that part would be fine. So now he says. So basically, he wants to know: is it mutter to go after the shasaramim if he's put a barza inside himself? So this shaila, by the way, is not a strange sound to you. This is a very lemaisa type shaila. Now the barza start with, I mean, amongst probably
like
many examples.
Pump.
What?
An implanted insulin pump.
Yeah. Well, if it's implanted, it's an IUD, for example.
Or a colostomy bag.
An IUD, an intrauterine device.
But
colostomy, but where's the bag? That's external. That's external. That's bigger issue. We might permit it, but it's a bigger issue.
Something in your mouth, you said. That's our example.
What's that? Or something maybe in your mouth, right? What? Yes, you mean swallowing gold or pearls. Highly inadvisable, but yes. Yes, if you need to carry, the following scenario is the case. I think Zman Gadav Rama writes that, right?
Yeah.
If you needed to get the diamonds out of this place on Shabbos, not because you need them now, but you need to save them somehow. Well, because otherwise they're not going to pass immediately. You're going to have to wait for them to pass in the stool.
Can't you just hold it in your mouth without swallowing?
Well, no. So that's what they say is no good. Right? Well, just wait a second. So that's what the Maggid of Rambam says, that a person could swallow, yes, like the bags of heroin. Heroin is particularly stupid, because if it bursts, you're probably dead. What? Swallowing most of these things is a bad idea also. You know, it can perforate the intestines as well, so it's generally not advised swallowing hard, non-degradable, you know, non-organic objects. Those buckyballs, by the way, are very dangerous. Kids end up swallowing them. One is not a problem. It's once you get more than one. It's been...
The little things.
Very, very, very strong magnetism. Aren't they made from like rare earth materials or something like that?
That's what they say. I don't know what that means. They're neodymium magnets. I don't
know what they're called. Okay. Anyway, bottom line is they're very dangerous because children swallow them. So generally, I highly recommend against swallowing even the pearl. The pearl is probably a better bet than the... I don't know what the gold is exactly.
Like diamonds can be sharp.
Yes, but anyway, at least they're not attracted to one another. So the bottom line is that if it's truly internal, then it shouldn't be a problem of hotzah. The problem is, if it's something that you can remove, that's the shaila. So in your mouth is the worst example, because that comes out so easily. Right? It's exposed and so on and so forth. So anyway, so, one second, continue. Read in the tshuva. Marpeko. What's the marpek? Marpek. Okay. I think which is atzilim. I think these are the atzilim. I think so. I think this is marpeko. I think so.
What is that?
Beit shechi? Yeah, that's marpek. That's armpit. Go ahead.
So where's the chol b'tzmir shabbat? Duar aval aser.
Dehatam kishu potech piv ukoshe marapiko, marmarpiko.
You can see what's being carried. Josh, open your mouth. Ah, and there it is. However, right. In other words, even if the person were exposing themselves, you still wouldn't see the object. I mean, you could have argued also that they're normally not going to expose themselves in such a fashion that you could see it, but nonetheless, but from a more fundamental conceptual perspective, it's inside the body. There's a din, by the way, not only in Shabbos. There's a din that a tumah balua is not matame, and a thing's not makabel tumah when it's balua. You know, you can imagine playing one of these riddle games on someone. Is a man has a metal ring, or even and he doesn't want it to become tame, but he needs to get out of the house immediately. And he's here, and there's a open top roof, but then between him and the door, there's a roof with a mace there. How does he get out of the house without getting the ring being tame?
One of those text-based computer games. Exits are ignored.
What? Okay, so the answer is he swallows the ring. Because, inside physics joke?
No.
Okay, inside computer games joke. Whatever it is. So the bottom line is that something that's balua is not makabel tuma. And if you have something that's tame when it's balua, first, I think you go to the mikveh, it doesn't help it. But it's also not matame. Like, if you had it's a bad example because it'll get digested. But in theory, if you had a kezias ben ames inside a little plastic bag that you swallowed. So I think that's not matame. I think that's not matame. What?
Yeah, the yoma. Matza.
Bala matza. Very good. Okay. So, I see. We call this a Ziploc cannibalism, right? What?
Rabbi.
What's wrong with you, Barish? You're making jokes today.
Rabbi,
all right.
If for Nita, for
spring
Nita,
fever.
For Nita, if your tovel.
Yeah.
Tovel.
Yeah.
Mouth is open. That's problematic. It's meaning that if her mouth is closed, that could be considered balua.
We assume the mouth is based on starim.
Yeah.
There's another issue here, which is this is different than other tinnim of tumah tara, that the mouth is based on starim, something that's more easily openable, but it's not called toch gufo.
It's a balua issue, so if she keeps her mouth closed, that's good.
No, I'm telling you that, again, if she has a chatzit inside her mouth, doesn't matter if her mouth's closed or not, that's called based on starim, it needs to be roi the bias mine. We don't assume, let's say, that the uterus, with an IUD, we don't say the IUD is a chatzitza, because that's not based on starim, that's toch haguf. Right?
Yeah.
No one says food between the teeth is a chatzitza. Food in the stomach is not a chatzitza between the waters and the lining of the stomach. And even though, of course, the water doesn't have to reach the lining of the stomach, we don't say, but it has to be roi the bias mine. We don't require that. That's not called based on starim. Based on starim means something that's accessible in theory, but typically not open, or something like that. That's a beis hastar. Okay. So now the Maram continues. Aval hacha shabula kulabuk v'yinir d'shari omnam. It's something you constantly put in, you put it in, but you're going to take it out. Aval gav. Even though it's not exactly like the others because it's not visible normally from the outside. Nonetheless, it's still patar baras. Kihani, like these. Howil, and he's not willing to permit it. Why?
The afshar,
the mishmush greidav ayidei shinui. That's enough in order to prevent the person from getting ill. So therefore, lo sharinan. Okay, so that's what the Maram says. The Beis Yosef just writes here that's mevuerasi. Okay. Yes.
I'm belaboring the point. He's saying lotzi latzor. I understand it's different than the peeve, and then his mouth. But like, still, it's lotzi moxir. That's inside his goof and inside the goof. No.
So that's, he wants to say they're the same din.
Yeah.
That's consistent.
As a mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's lemaisa what he said. He didn't want to be makel.
Yeah.
Shulchan Aruch says. Ches.
Shalom, Ella, the Bad Spot,
Okay, even if it's fully inside the body. All right, Tess, you can reach to read the Shulchan Aruch. Right, so he's damaging someone else's property. That's only a concern. That's a concern always. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol.
It's a near, like a furrow.
Yeah, and you're going to end up filling it in. Finally, strange of strangest things. This, there is no discussion whatsoever in the Beis Yosef. This is a rarity. This is less than a 1 in 10 occurrence, even though it's a Sif Yud. I don't think we have yet to see this entire year and all the halacha that we covered, a single example where the Mechaber has a din in the Shulchan Aruch, which isn't covered in the Beis Yosef. I suspect that this is discussed. I didn't look. I'm pretty sure it's probably discussed in Hilchos Yom Tov when you have, or later in Shabbos when you talk about Binyan Arai. In fact, I didn't check one thing, but I could have almost imagined, it wouldn't have shocked me, but I doubted, that the Beis Yosef could have quoted it in the next siman. Because the next siman starts the discussion. The next two siman are really about Binyan.
Is there an Afron that differentiates or explains differences or similarities between the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch? That specifically
says
these things.
This issue?
Is there an Afron who specifically says, here's what the Beis Yosef analyzes the Beis Yosef as opposed to the Shulchan Aruch? Just
supposed to show Achronim do all the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
When it's relevant. One is used. Beis Yosef is typically, and its conclusion is used to often explain the Stima Salashon in the Shulchan Aruch.
Sorry?
The Beis Yosef is often and should be used when you have a Stima Salashon in the Shulchan Aruch where it's not clear what he's ruling, you look at the Beis Yosef to see what he's ruling.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very, very rare to find differences between the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef. Okay. Fine. Particularly remember, the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch was?
Summary.
Crib notes on the Beis Yosef. What does it say in Sif Yud? Take the prize, Nathan. Okay, so I honestly don't know. Magen Avraham says you can't put a stone on top of this. Others disagree. The Elie Rabba and the Levush disagree. But more to the point, I don't understand why there's a problem of Binyan Arai.
We usually assume that this thing is just walls and has no gag, that's not called a Binyan Arai. Unless it's Materis. What?
Well, just a
bit. So I think that the answer to the question has to be, is that's only true when you're talking about something that's an ohel. But if you're talking about setting stones up in a certain arrangement where that is the purpose, there's the issue with mechitza is to divide spaces. And ohel is to divide spaces. So when you're talking about that something is a space divider, so then normally you need a gag, unless the mechitza is a Materis. But the point is that the mechitza in theory, let's say mechitza for anything, you need mechitza. How thick does the mechitza have to be, but generally speaking? Goshehu. So the point is, it's almost what the mechitza does, more than the thickness of the mechitza or the way it's placed, unless it's a gag. Whereas here, the issue is that you're actually making something. You're making an arrangement. Right? You're not just, and I would say the following, what if I were taking one stone to move and sit on? I presume that's not Binyan.
I don't know, but the whole...
One second, right? Setting up one stone, how do I know that? How do I know that? Don't just give me...
Tell me.
He's on the right track. The Gemara in Perakol HaKelim that talks about the Avana that we're going to sit on. So, according to the Mandam Reshif Shifum, it meant you were allowed to rearrange them on Shabbos. So why wasn't that a problem of Binyan? The answer is because each stone was its own thing. You sat on a stone, and just putting a stone, therefore moving a stone here, moving a stone there, is just changing the place of your Binyan. But your Binyan is already built, it's your stone. But when you're taking two stones that function as a unit, that's what's called a Binyan.
But wasn't that the problem over there?
It's like a tzibor. A tzibor is not just
then I have 10 individual personalities. They combine together to form something more than the sum total of their individual personalities. Nice, Drush. Yeah, but that is the idea of binyan. The idea of binyan is that a stone alone is not binyan, but taking two stones and arranging them in such a way that you have something that wasn't really there before, so that is binyan.
So that was my question about the kisei over there from Shishu. So why do we have to be yachid them over there? Because
no, there's a separate question of muksa.
Okay.
But I'm pointing out the raya from that gemara is that there's no binyan issue. Is why would it be muktzah to arrange them on Shabbos anyway, even if they weren't muksa? The answer is because each one functions in its own terms.
So for Kavod Abrios, we can do certain things, we're saying.
So you're allowed to do Binyan Arai for the Kavod Abrios of bathroom.
So why am I worried about Sofen Besoser? Token Besoser? Sozer? Token Soter. I'm worried about other Malachos. If you're going to say that, let me do a lot of things for Kavod Abrios.
So firstly, the Token might be Token Doraisa. Soser is not as clear to me. The Token could be Mamish Token Doraisa. Take a... The only thing that would maybe mitigate is that maybe it's saying it's Richa Legufa.
Are we saying Binyan, but you're Abanin here? Abanin?
Yeah. Well, you're not, because you're just taking the stones and arranging them. You're not gluing them together or anything like that.
Yeah.
No. Gilad?
On the topic, Rishimon Yikar, what's that mean according to Rashi?
According to Rashi?
According to not Rashi.
Well, I would say that I don't know what it means for Avinu Hananel. According to the other sheet, I would say that if you're not... Now, there it looks like you're making a guma. So there I would say that if Rishuman is Nikar, if they still sort of stand out a little bit, then going to take it is not a Marasayan problem. That does sound like a Marasayan problem.
Even if there is a guma?
What?
Even if there is a guma.
Well, the guma's there already, remember. And you had removed the stone.
Oh.
Look, let me ask you a question. Let's say I have a big, I don't know, pick a kli. Okay, I have a glass. And the rain pours down, it fills with water, it sinks into the mud, leaving a guma. Okay, and now I lift the glass up. Is that making a guma?
Didn't we discuss this earlier when we were talking about Hofer Guma, and we're trying to understand how exactly you're making a guma if what you're doing is you're removing stuff? The guma was
that was in
there.
That Balamor.
Was it?
That was in the Balamor we were dealing with. Okay. It was a Malach Shen Sichel Gufa is what you're thinking about. Yeah, he was trying to define.
The bore was being allowed.
Yeah, what you're acting on here. We struggle with that particular issue. But here I would just argue that this is not part of the ground. In that case, the dirt and the hole were part of the ground. So that's irrelevant to have whatever discussion the Balamor had. But when you're dealing with an external. No, but the rocks already were removed from the ground. I have the following question for you, and I don't know for sure the answer to this question, but I think I know the answer. You know, a rock is mechubar lekarka in its natural state. That's what it is in its natural state. But what if you take a rock out of the ground and then you just put it back down in the ground in the same place? Is that talash or mechubar? I'm sorry?
For what purposes?
I don't care right now. Just let's talk about it.
Wouldn't that be the same as putting the pile of dirt back on the ground?
Yes, and what's it then there? Is that talash or mechubar?
What?
It's talash. It's talash. It's, what's that?
You're right to get on it.
Okay, you're right to get on it. Fine. Right? So that's Talish, I think. I'm a little hesitant, only in the following sense, which is if I build a binyan shalavonim and I put a mace in there, a mausoleum. So I don't think most from Jews would bury in a mausoleum, but really Alpidin, it's mutar, because the binyan is mechuber lekarka. Why is that mechubar lekarka? You cut all the stones out, now you put them back in the ground. I think the answer is, one possible answer could be that if you buried it all the way, that's called mechubar lekarka again. I think the better answer is if it's something that you can't really move. What?
It's not nital.
Correct. If it's not nital at all, that might become part of the karka again. Because
what about a huge kli? It's still much better than the shots.
What's that?
A very large kli, even if it's not nital, molly orbitum, it's still not part of the karka.
Like a delit?
So it may be that it has to be something that could plausibly be part of the karka also. That may be part of the tanai. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think you'll agree that when this stone, without intent, just got pressed into the ground a little bit, that's not really, and the guma's there already, that's not called, that I can understand. I can understand why somebody would say that's not really called bona, or horish, or whatever you want to call it. Unless you want to say that, that would solve the other problem, by the way. If you say that Eimu Shumanika means to become part of the Karka again, and it's Mamish, Choresh, that's why it's also to use.
So visibility...
Because it's Daraisa. What's that? Yeah, it might. In other words, as soon as it loses its... If the Martian were to come and say this is naturally part of the karka, maybe. I mean, again, I got to modify my Martian muscle here. But, you know, that idea that if it would be indistinguishable from its natural state, then maybe it has returned to its natural state. You have to study this. It matters for shechita purposes also. No. No, if you had a very sharp rock and you stuck it back in the ground, then you ran the animal's neck over it, you have to do shechita betalush. How you do the shechita? No, you have a very sharp rock. Okay, so why you, if you can move the knife against the neck, why can't you move the neck against the knife?
Good luck is all.
That's okay. That never stopped the Gemara from posing these scenarios. This question, this issue was discussed in Chulin, in the first parak. What's that? So why is that hard at all? That's if it's again, the question is how do you understand Rishon Onika? Why would that make a difference? That I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. I think we had enough of toilet issues. Let's take a... Let's start Vishnu. The people start Vishnu and Tessa? Not, you know, I'm not going to push on. Not too many people start. Okay, tomorrow, guys, get moving. I know it's a shorter Seder, but I want to get through Vishnu and Tessa. And we're not going to start Reish Ayin Tess, and we'll leave Reish Ayin Tess for Wednesday. I guess that's how it'll work out. So I guess Choli will probably start right after Pesach. Not Chas V'Shalom sickness, but you might have some of these Chole Me'ayim that you need the practical things of this Simen after Pesach, but that's a different kind of an issue. What's that?
Was it Rav Yosef who couldn't take wine?
No, that's a different issue. That he had headaches from Pesach Tatzeres, as you shall me. Yes. Yes, I just saw. Where did I just see it? It was Yushalmi. It's the Yushalmi's is on the Mishnah, first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim. It tells the story of someone who drank wine, but apparently he got sick. No, well, he drank. The Yushalmi says some Amora was his face was always glowing. So some Matronisa said, "You're either Megadle Chazir, you're drunk," or I forget what the third possibility was. Maybe there's two possibilities. Megadle Chazir, I presume, because it was a banned practice, so anybody who engaged in it probably made a killing. He's very happy and drunk. You know, or drinking wine. He said, no, it's the Torah. That's Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Fine.